Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take your word and cause it to bear much fruit in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you have suffered grief from your children or grandchildren? We seek to bring them up to know and love the Lord and to live lives, upright lives, full of integrity, but sometimes they go astray. We had that experience in our own family, and our son, through some actions of his own, got into significant problems. And I remember going to the United States to support him through a difficult time. And I can remember being in tears because of the situation in which he was living at the time. What I want to do this morning is look a little bit at David's relationship with his son Absalom and why it ended up in the way that it did. And we'll ask the Lord if there's something that we can learn about how to relate to our children or to our grandchildren so that we don't end up in the tragic circumstances that overcame David. Now, there's a bit of background here in this story that we heard read from the Old Testament this morning. David had many children. One of them, his eldest son, Amnon, became infatuated with his half-sister, Tamar. And through a ruse, he got her into his bedroom and raped her. That, of course, was a great disgrace to her and to her brothers as well. Absalom was her full brother. Now, David doesn't seem to have done or to taken any major action against Amnon. And maybe this is the seed of why things start to go wrong from here on in. Absalom contains his anger for a period that's a bit uncertain, maybe a couple of years. But then he arranges for the murder of Amnon, and Absalom flees away from David. And he's away for some 3 years from Jerusalem, after which he returns. But for 2 years, he doesn't see his father because he's not sure what's going to happen. But he's a rather cunning young man, Absalom. Not only is he actually quite handsome with nice curly golden locks, but he sits at the gate of the palace. And as people come to the king for judgment or for a bit of advice, he says to them, "Look, don't worry the king. I'll sort this out for you." And so after a period of 2 years doing this, people really like Absalom, because he's sorting out their issues. Now, a little bit more explanation too. In the story that you heard read, you would have heard David's troops going out to fight Israel. This can be a bit confusing. But basically, Israel becomes the northern 10 tribes, and in the south you have Judah, and David's a Benjamite, and the Benjamites were closely allied with those from Judah. So we have this conflict between the north and the south that appears. It appears at this point because Absalom wants to become king, and so he calls the people of Israel, the northern part, to rebel against David. And so they make him king. But he flees from David because he's a bit concerned. So David then organises this battle that's going to occur. Now, David doesn't actually go out to battle on his own. He stays behind, as he did before when he got into trouble with Bathsheba. But he sends Joab, his general. And you heard the story. Joab and the other commanders are told quite clearly not to harm Absalom when they go to battle. And everybody, all the troops hear this. So there's absolutely no doubt what David's desire is as far as his son Absalom is concerned. So they go to battle. David's troops win. And you heard how Absalom gets stuck in an oak tree in the branches. The bit you didn't hear was that one of the soldiers is there with him, one of David's soldiers. Absalom comes up and says, "What's going on? Why don't you get rid of this guy? Why haven't you killed him?" "No, no, no. The king told us not to harm him." "Ah, get out of it." 3 javelins into him and does away with him. Joab was ambitious. He was a very competent general, but he was very, very ambitious. 2 messengers carry the news of the victory to David. One is a Jew, the other is a Cushite. The Jew starts first, but the Cushite gets there first. And you heard the story there too. "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" says David when he hears the news of the victory of his troops. Would that all the enemies of the king were as Absalom. And David knows exactly what he means. Absalom's been killed. And so you hear David's grief for his son. "Oh, my son Absalom. Oh, my son." And maybe you've felt that in your own lives. "Oh, my son," or "Oh, my daughter," or "Oh, my grandson," or "My granddaughter." Because of what they've done, they've been led astray. Now, the series that you've been hearing over the recent weeks is called David, A Man After God's Own Heart. Why is David a man after God's own heart in these circumstances? We know that David sinned in the case of Bathsheba. He's not been a terribly good father to his sons and daughters because they've been able to go astray. He's been weak at times. Why is he like God at this point? Because he loved his son, Absalom, in spite of his son's rebellion against him. He stuck in there. He stayed. He loved him. He desired the best for him. And isn't that what God wants for us? He wants the best for us, even though we might rebel against God. We go our own way. We ignore God. We want to be king of our lives. But God still reaches into us. Now, in your notice sheet today, you'll notice that there are 4 different readings and we've only had 2 of them. But I suggest that you might like to go and look at the other readings that are down for today. There's Psalm 130 and there's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to chapter 5, verse 2. Now, Psalm 130 is not one of the psalms directly ascribed to David. But I can imagine David saying these words. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." You can imagine David in those circumstances, after he's heard of Absalom's death, coming to God and pleading for his support, for his mercy, for his love. It's the Lord who sustains us in times of trial, in times of pain, in times of suffering, if we will but seek him. In the Ephesians reading that we didn't hear, which I hope you'll read when you go home, Paul tells us not to have the attitudes displayed by the Gentiles. Now, Joab the general was not a Gentile, but his deeds certainly reflected the callousness of the Gentiles. So if we're not to be like them, what are we to be like? What attitudes are we to display? And Paul tells us in that Ephesians reading, we're to put off the old self, which belongs to our former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, And we're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's a wonderful passage. We're to watch the speech that comes out of our mouths so that it is encouraging to others, able to build them up. It seems that David didn't always do that. We're to put off bitterness and wrath and anger. Empty, clanging words, no shouting matches and malice. Rather, we're to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. So we are to have God's heart the way that David was a man after God's own heart. Well, how does David's story apply to us? Where we have family members or maybe even friends with whom we have disagreements, we ought to do our best to display love and forbearance towards them. Where there's still time, that is, where they've not become totally, entirely set in their ways, maybe we can gently ask questions like, have you thought about what will happen if you do X? Or what impact will your action have on your brother or sister or mother or father or friend? Maybe you'll have to say, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with what you're doing, but I'll keep on loving you. Also, let's not be like Joab, callous, ignoring the explicit orders of his superior, heartless and full of ambition. Let us be people after God's own heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that when we're in the depths of darkness, in the depths of our own sin, Jesus came. You sent him, you sacrificed him, your own son, for our benefit. Lord, help us to display the same self-giving that you have displayed. Help us to be people after your own heart. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.